It is 5 o'clock on Tuesday, and you're listening to Real Talk, which means it's time for Kim and Mark to bring you what's new in theaters, what's opening, as well as our favorite from the DVD releases, which happened today. And we wanted to let you know that Real Talk is brought to you by the Fine Arts Theater, located at 36 Biltmore Avenue in Asheville. The Fine Arts Theater specializes in art and independent films, as well as special events. You can call their movie line for the schedule at 828-232-1536 or visit their website at www.fineartstheater.com. Well, there's a handful of films opening up this weekend, and one is Mordecai. If you've been to the theaters recently, you might have seen a bunch of silly posters with Gwyneth Paltrow with what surely must be a silly mustache on her face. And it stars Johnny Depp, which used to make me go, ooh, maybe this will be weird. But now it makes me go, oh no, I hope this one isn't that bad. Especially after Falling Transcendence. My brother, please, please pull it together. This is the third collaboration between Depp and Bettany, who is, I guess, also featured in this film. And it's like they keep following each other around from movie to movie. The problem is they were in The Tourist and then they were in Transcendence. So not sure about that. It's from director David Cope, who's considered one of the fifth most successful screenwriters because of his work on
Spider-Man.
Things like Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think he's one of the best?
Well, I mean, best and successful are two different words.
This is true.
Yeah. I like him. Yeah. I mean, his stuff's interesting, for sure.
All right. Well, this is a tale of it's like, sort of like a caper, I guess, mm-hmm. with Johnny Depp, Gwyneth Paltrow, and Ewan McGregor. And it's like a Russian and a British MI5 and an international terrorist, an art dealer, and all these people coming together to recover a stolen painting that is rumored to have the key to finding gold collected by the Nazis. So, yeah, seems kind of silly.
It does. Yeah, I think I've heard this term, I guess, after the failure of the Lone Ranger. I've been using it quite a bit past a couple, I guess, a year or two now. It's called Depp fatigue.
Oh,
basically, where I think the American populace is tired of him playing the kooky characters and stuff like that. So we'll see what happens here.
All right. Also opening up in theaters this week, The Boy Next Door. This is a psycho thriller directed by Rob Cohen, who did Fast and Furious and Dragonheart. It stars J-Lo, so there's that. Shortly after her divorce, a high school teacher, Claire, played by Jennifer Lopez, has a one-night stand with a young neighbor who quickly develops a dangerous obsession with her. Dun, dun, dun. Boy Next Door. Opens up in theaters this week.
Yay.
Also opening up in theaters this week, Strange Magic. Now, this one actually looks kind of fun. It's produced by Lucasfilm, and it's directed by Gary Rydstrom, who did some work on Jurassic Park and Titanic and Terminator 2. He's also worked closely on all the English language versions of the recent Miyazaki films. So, you know, he has some things on his resume, but the plot is pitched as Beauty and the Beast, where the beast doesn't change, that you could make a fairy tale strictly with goblins and elves. And I think it sounds almost like it could be like a Dark Crystal Labyrinth kind of thing, but as a cartoon.
Sure.
And last but not least on our list for opening up this week is Cake. This is the new Daniel Barnes film, who did Beastly and Won't Back Down. It's got Jennifer Aniston as a, you know, average woman in America who's hooked on prescription pills because of her chronic pain. And she becomes really wrapped up in the story of a woman in her support group for her chronic pain support group who commits suicide and maybe takes it too far. But I'm hearing nothing but kind of negative reviews about this one. So.
They're saying it's a great performance in a terrible movie. So we'll see.
Of course, we want to let you know what's playing at the Fine Arts Theater as well. So you've got Foxcatcher, The Imitation Game, and Wild. All of these are getting Oscar buzz, which we will be talking about again a little bit later in the show. We're going to take a quick break and be back with what's new on DVD coming up. With what's new on DVD coming up next.
Peacock, and you're listening to Asheville FM.
I'm the one.
103.3.
I'm the one. You don't have to look any further. I'm the one.
I love my DVD with Martin McLeod from Orbit DVD. Finally, Lucy is out on DVD.
Finally, yeah, this is the week of the crazy. I guess the cold weather, and I don't know if we're going to get snow this season or not, but you know, at least cross country, I think you know, they're putting out the nutty stuff. Yeah, we're going to start off with one that some people hated, but I thought it was great. And you just got to check your brain in and don't think about things. And we're talking, of course, about Luc Besson's Lucy.
Boy, now,
lot about Luc Besson, don't we?
He's a hardworking guy.
I know, yeah. He is mainly now known for being like a story by or screenwriting or produced by. He's basically got an empire running out of France, doing the Takens, the 3 Days to Kill, all that stuff, the Transporters, you know, all those types of action crazy action movies and whatnot. But he does get back on the chair and directs every now and then. And then he did this one, which I think is his best film since Fifth Element, actually. And it's a good sort of link to Fifth Element because it's insane. So basically, it's about a
superhero lady.
Well, yeah, what happened is lady ends up ingesting this experimental drug to be a drug mule, and she ends up using her full brain potential. Now, we have, I think, in the recent past few years have discussed about how much of your brain are you using. I think that's all been kind of debunked recently. In fact, Morgan Freeman, of course, is a professor in this movie, and he's having a lecture while this action is going on here.
My brain talking just about needs using some about like elbow room. I use 10%, but that 10% needs a lot of elbow room.
That's right. That's right. So that's turned off a lot of people that are maybe getting too technical about this stuff. So anyway, imagine if you say that you do use only 10% of your brain, and then that just gets amped up to 100% of your brain. Imagine what type of human you'll be after that. So she does get sort of superpowers. I'm sort of calling this almost like an inward 2001. In a way, she's exploring her own mind, which means her own genetic code, meaning our own genetic code. So, like I said, the whole film after the first 30 minutes gets just absolutely crazy, and just strap yourself in, enjoy the ride. This was a surprise, and I mean absolutely surprise hit this summer. It made a lot of money. Maybe
I talked to loved it.
Yeah, just due to the star power of Scarlett Johansson. I saw it opening weekend. I went with my son, who I think enjoyed it, but there was people his age, meaning teenagers, in the audience, and I think towards the end it was blowing their minds. So thank you, Luc Besson, for at least throwing something out in the metroplexes that's just completely just destroying young kids.
Like in a Matrix kind of way?
More so. Matrix, I think, was very linear in a way. You know, very straightforward once you understood the Matrix. Lucy, it's like freeform jazz towards the end there. So, but if you've not seen this yet, I do highly recommend it. Like I said, most people I think I know are loving it. A few are hating it.
Yeah, it's a Luc Besson film.
You know,
check your brain at the door. Maybe your brain will have that extra elbow room it was hoping for.
Right.
I know nothing about Zero Theorem. I don't even remember if we talked about this when it was out in the theater.
Wow. Okay.
2013?
Yeah.
And it's finally on DVD?
Look who's the director.
Oh, that's the one. Okay. I didn't miss that one. This is the new Terry Gilliam. I obviously missed.
Right. All right. So for crazy movie number two this week, we have Zero Theorem, which is directed by one of our all-time favorites, who is Terry Gilliam. Terry Gilliam, of course, a member of Monty Python. He co-directed Holy Grail, some of the other more classic Python movies. And then he stepped out doing Time Bandits, and then really stepped out doing Brazil and Adventures of Baron Munchausen, 12 Monkeys, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. You know, the list goes on and on. Anyway, someone like him, I think it's probably harder to, of course, age, I'm sure, is playing a part in this too. It's probably harder for him to get ideas together and at least money together. But this probably could be the most Gilliam-esque film he's ever made. And it's nuts. It's nuts. It stars Christoph Waltz. Christoph Waltz, if you don't know who he is the German actor who is won an Oscar for every Tarantino movie that's come out over the past, say, 5 or 6 years.
Really like him.
He's fantastic.
I love watching him. Yeah. He's a great actor.
Absolutely fantastic. Totally fantastic actor, yeah. But he's got some chops, for sure. But he is a computer hacker who is looking for basically the theory of life and everything, you know, just to see, you know, the existence of us through the internet or through computers and stuff like that. And while he's on this search, there's apparently some mysterious group that are throwing monkey wrenches in his
which I love they call the management.
The management. That's right. That's right. Very Gilliaman-esque term right there. As a young man and a young woman who are basically sent to distract him from completing this task. Because apparently, I guess you can find the origins of human existence in the internet somewhere down the line. Yes. but the two young people are played by Lucas Hedges, was in Moonrise Kingdom, main actor in that. Yeah, and also Melanie Thierry, who is in Babylon AD and a bunch of other mainly French films and whatnot. So yeah, this is you gotta like Gilliam, you gotta like nuts, insanity, and just once again, strap yourself in. Be a good double feature with Lucy, I guess.
Yeah, it sounds like
I don't know which one you start first. You know, you start Zero Theorem first and go to Lucy, or vice versa. I don't know, but you're let's just say that
my style would probably watch Lucy first.
Mm-hmm.
So then when I'm like, yay, and then I watch Zero Theorem,
I don't do drugs myself, but if you're that type, and I'm not criticizing anyway, these are two films that you probably would enjoy quite a bit this week.
Terry Gilliam always is a thinker.
Mm-hmm.
Never a stinker. Let's talk about Box Trolls. I know a lot of adults who went to see this movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's supposed to be fun. I can't wait to go race you to your local DVD store and rent it.
Yeah, I myself went and saw this in the theaters. Yes, Box Trolls. they always say by the makers of, I forgot who the makers of this, but anyway, it's directed by two guys, Graham Annabelle and Anthony Stachy. Stachy has the only directorial credit, which is Open Season. I think Annabelle did video games and other cartoon type stuff and whatnot. So anyway,
cool.
It is stop motion-y. Think, like Nightmare Before Christmas. Or
oh, it's the makers of Coraline and Paranorman.
Well,
that's why
I mean,
it looks kind of like that.
They say that, but it's like,
does that mean
the
same cartoon drawers?
Yeah, or I don't know. Or the studio, I don't know what they do. Anyway, this film is gross. It's dirty.
Mm-hmm.
A little snobby, a little snotty. And it's fantastic. This is probably the best animated feature I saw last year, to be honest. I thoroughly, 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 thoroughly enjoyed this movie. And I think your kids are going to love it, especially the ones that like their humor a little more dealing with...
realistic.
Well, yeah. boogers and things like that, of course, are part of the humor.
I asked a couple friends who had seen this if it was like Micmax. Do you remember that Micmax film?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
And it's like all underground.
Right.
And it's like,
so basically the story is it's some, probably some unnamed European city, maybe steampunk era or whatever. Who knows? But anyway, there's these creatures called box trolls who take things from people that are just lying around on the streets and the alleys,
so
things like that.
That's where your missing socks are and
right.
That earring that you still can't find.
Exactly, exactly. So anyway, due to some positioning by an exterminator, he has now been championed by the city to get rid of all the box trolls, and you find out why, of course, as the movie goes on. So it's also one of those films where, or cartoons, where the bad people aren't necessarily the ugly ones, the nasty ones. They also can be the humans as well. So if you haven't seen this, for kids it's fantastic, of course. And adults, everybody I knew that saw this loved it. So
yes,
it's gonna be good.
Can't wait. Mm-hmm. Also out on DVD this week, The Drop.
Yes, this actually could be the best film of the week. Actually, out of all these, yeah, yeah. And what a cast, huh? We're looking at Tom Hardy, Noomi Rapace, and of course the now very last performance. He's been dead for about 2 years now. The very last performance of James Gandolfini as Cousin Marv. And I guess the talent lined up for the director, who is Mikael Roskam, the Belgian director who blew us away a few years ago with this Belgian film called Bullhead. Mm. In fact, the actor from Bullhead and also Rustin Bone is also in this film. And this deals with in New York, a bar that's a drop, something that's used to fence things that perhaps have been procured or whatever, you know, it could be people, it could be, you know,
it's your cover.
Yeah.
It's like
the place.
You so the
bar was once owned by Gandolfini's character, who is basically just given to the Chechenian mobs to let them do what they need. So once again, the cast is absolutely top notch. I can't imagine a better cast I've seen in a while. Well, no, we see some great cast.
You do like Tom Hardy.
I do love Tom Hardy. In fact, if you haven't seen Locke, basically the one-man show, Tom Hardy with a cell phone, it's a very gripping movie. Just sort of barely dipped out of my top 10 for last year. But yeah, this is a really good crime film. And once again, Gandolfini finished strong. Enough said, Killing Them Softly. The last few films that he made were his best films, and that's really, really a damn shame, I think, because he definitely, I think, was stepping out of the Sopranos shadow, and you know, even though some of these films had to deal with crime, you know, I think he finally embraced it and was putting his best work forward.
I think when you're dealing with changing social climates, anytime people are in a situation where, I'm sure in this story, James Gandolfini's character has to let go of some of his rights of owning the bar. Maybe it wasn't exactly how he intended because he had to compromise based on his financial stability. Mm-hmm. I think those kinds of movies always hit home with a lot of people.
Right,
and
right.
Also, we all love a little action.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, it's one of those crime films to where, you know, you're not talking, you know, cars to the streets at a, you know, for an hour and a half or anything like that. But, you know, it's definitely a, you know, a slow boiler, but it's a great film.
Also on DVD this week, in case you want to get the goodness gracious almost scared out of you as good as you did on The Conjuring, Annabelle, the prequel.
Well,
is that on DVD?
Yeah. This film...
The Conjuring scared me. I don't care if you don't
think No. The Conjuring was good. I like The Conjuring. This film, not so good.
Right.
Not so good. In fact, it got pretty much savaged by the critics. However, it was a humongous, and we're talking humongous worldwide hit. It made $200 million in the box office. I think it only cost like $10, $20 million to make. Horror films are cheap, you know. Even the top notch horror films are cheaply made. So this film is a huge hit. If you haven't seen The Conjuring, see The Conjuring. But anyway, Annabelle is the backstory to The Conjuring, mainly dealing with the, I guess we'll say it's a real doll, right? Like the American Girl type doll, whatever.
Yeah,
called Annabelle.
The porcelain face and the braids and the cute little dress.
Mm-hmm. But Annabelle's not very nice.
Yeah, it's not that sweet little country girl that she looks like she could be. She
has
big things planned.
She's not Laura Ingram at all.
No. I will say, though, you're right. If you want to get scared and yell out loud, because I did in the front row of the local theater, yeah, The Conjuring's a good pick. It's really fun and original. This is not from the same director as The Conjuring.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's James Wan who is the mastermind behind all this and like the Insidious films and things like that. James Wan did the first two Saw films. He probably could be the best horror director going right now. He's doing the new Fast and Furious film right now, but we love James Wan. He did not direct this one, so he's off the hook.
Also out on DVD this week, The Internet's Own Boy.
Yeah, I don't know if it's screened here anywhere. Do you remember? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah. This is the now tragic story about Aaron Schwartz. Aaron Schwartz, he had his footprints on what became RSS, which stands for Rich Site Summary, which is now being used all throughout the internet. And then also he had a hand in the early days. I don't think he helped create it, but he had his hand in Reddit. I think he left soon after that, or maybe got fired from that. I can't remember. But anyway, he also a huge internet activist, lots of nonprofits he founded with his money. He also got to be a target. He, I think, got arrested for downloading, I believe it's some journal archives from a school or something like that. And he was facing 35 years in prison. And multiple fines, stuff like that. He ended up actually taking his own life, I think now 2 years ago, I think 2013. Very young man, 20s, definitely, you know, a Zuckerberg-type character, whatever or not, you know. But however, unlike, say, Zuckerberg, he really was a champion for rights on the internet, basically. You know, of course, the main thing is the mining of information and copyrights and stuff like that. So this film, I think, perhaps is a bit too close to him. You know, of course, it's pro Aaron. He can be painted as not the best figure out there. But, you know, it's very interesting. And if you haven't seen it yet, you should.
This is getting really good ratings. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't really checked into this one. But I think when we're looking at, like you said, the rights on the internet, what can be out there about you and what if it's wrong and like how to make sure that your searchable self actually lines up with your real self. And mm-hmm. I don't know, the internet's becoming its own little monster of a tool.
Right, right. And it's changing so fast, it's you know, the Congress or the government can't keep up with it, basically.
And that, last but not least on the list, is Guy Madden's My Winnipeg.
Yes, this is Criterion. We like talking about Criterion, of course. Mm-hmm. We talk about that like probably twice a month. I like Criterion because they bring films to light that maybe have passed a lot of the populace over. We've actually had this film for, you know, since it's come out. It's, I think, about almost 10 years old now, maybe 8 years old. And this is done by a director who is one of our favorites. But once again, he's a director that a lot of you people don't know about. His name is Guy Madden. He is from Winnipeg, Canadian. Guy Madden really made a name for himself starting in the 80s, making films using old silent film techniques.
Hmm.
The wipes, the fisheye lenses. A lot of his films look like old films, but then of course you'd see, like, say, full frontal male nudity, and you realize you're not watching a film from the 20s, or not that type of film from the 20s. I mean, right. There's probably a few lying around from the 20s that are like that. And he's just really, really creative and you know, just a wonderful director. Anyway, he was, I think, sanctioned or you know, I think Canada actually gives money to directors to make films and stuff like that. I don't know if Canada did himself, but they wanted a documentary on Winnipeg, and they basically wanted him to make one that was not the obvious. The obvious is Winnipeg is very cold and perhaps could be looked at on the surface being very bleak. So Madden, being the creative mind that he is, made a wonderful movie that is part documentary, part story of himself escaping Winnipeg, or at least looking at what Winnipeg was and what he loved before he actually had to leave.
Hmm.
And it's hard to describe. There's someone cast as himself, even though Madden narrates the film. Someone else is playing Guy Madden. And I think some people from his past are playing themselves. Some people from his family are not in the film. There are actors playing his family and whatnot. So it's actually does a really good job making Winnipeg look like a place you actually want to visit at the end, which I think is the whole purpose of this film and whatnot.
Yeah, I do think, even though I was raised in the Sandhills of South Carolina, I think if I portrayed it in the right way, it would sound like this is really homey place.
You can find beauty in anything, really. Yeah. And I think that's really what this whole doc, or, you know, and we'll call it docurama, I guess.
Nice.
Yeah, because I mean, it is a lot of fantasy involved with this, and a lot of his own memories are involved with this as well. And those, of course, you know, if you're remembering when you're five, you know, back in the 50s or 60s, and you are, you know, that memory's got to be distorted some way. So that's in there as well. I love the fact that they release this. We got sort of a bare bones DVD years ago on this from Canada, and hopefully for some of you guys, it'll open up your world to a new director. He like I said, he's got quite a body of work out that's fantastic, and we're definitely worth checking out.
Well, don't turn the dial yet, because we're going to talk about Oscar nominations here in a second. But just to give you the recap of what's available on DVD this week, we highlighted Lucy, Zero Theorem, Box Trolls is finally out on DVD. Can't wait for that. The Drop, Annabelle, The Internet's Own Boy, and My Winnipeg, the Criterion release of Guy Madden's docurama. Is that right? Did I get that right?
Sure.
All right. Well, the Oscar nominations came out, and every year when the Oscar nominations come out, we're always like, which one got snubbed? Which one? How boring is this going to be? How predictable? And every year I'm like, this is the worst one. But I think this year it got everyone's attention that the nominated films might have been the worst ones. Does that mean that people aren't watching the more innovative films that are coming out? Does it mean that because the
well, I think the most, you know, I think probably the most innovative film of the year actually has been nominated a few times. And the question is, will this unique idea sweep, or will they snub it? I think it's definitely a shoe-in for Best Director. We're, of course, are talking about the film called Boyhood.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, you know, filmed over the course of 12 years. It's not going in movie 12 years. They actually spent 12 years filming this movie, filming a boy's life from like 5 until 18 or so. And
which is amazing.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So, but is the film actually worthy of the Best Picture Oscar?
I don't think so.
The best director to having the balls to make this movie is probably Richard Linklater.
To be
Linklater.
Able to find the funding for it and get everybody together and keep the cast together and keep the flow going for the whole story. I think absolutely for director.
Yeah. Yeah. I think also another one that's on a lot of people's sentimental favorites this year is Birdman. Birdman was nominated for quite a bit. I think pretty much almost every acting category. Except for actress, I believe, and then director and film and stuff like that. So I think the only shoe-in for that would be Michael Keaton. I think he's well-loved. You know, he's definitely paid his dues. I think the Academy loves a comeback story, even though he's always been working. It's definitely his highest-profile film in forever, even though he's signed on for Beetlejuice 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens there. I would say it's not so much disappointing for me. It's just predictable. You kind of know what's going to win. Really.
Well, the main complaint is the issue of diversity,
right?
And that it's, you know, it looks like very one demographic
mm-hmm.
of filmmakers and actors and actresses. And other than Selma being nominated for Best Picture, I can see the complaint being validated.
I think so. But you know, I also think though that if there wasn't that good at performances by minorities and, you know, women and stuff like that, then they shouldn't be nominated. However, I disagree this year because, I think that the performance for James Brown by Chadwick Boseman is definitely worthy of that category. He should have been nominated for an Oscar.
So who would have been knocked off? If it's just five actors.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's tough. I would say probably, I don't know, Bradley Cooper, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, Bradley will get his Oscar. He will. He's been nominated a few times now. So he, you know, it's probably his third Oscar nomination. That's hard to believe for Bradley Cooper, actually. Yeah. That you know, he's in this good thing. I think a lot of, you know, the sights, pun intended, are kind of on American Sniper, which opened up huge this weekend and made, I think, $90 million in the box office. But there's been a lot of inaccuracies about this man that Bradley Cooper's portraying. He apparently is not the man that the film is making him out to be, in a way. So, you know, once again, it's you know, we've learned to distance ourselves from the Oscars, pretty much. You know, we like to complain about it. I'm tired of complaining about it, really. You know, it's
what should get more attention? Razzies?
Oh yeah, I love the Razzies. I don't know. You know, it's like, you know, I can't even say that that Independent Spirits thing, which is like usually like the few days before the Oscars, is even worthy of talking about either, because that's usually was given out to more creative, more unique films. But you know, considering that major studios are making quote unquote indie films now, you know, it doesn't even count. So.
We've talked about this a lot. If there's a kind of movie you want to see, the only way to get to see more of that movie in Asheville is to show up in mass and not go to the typical nonsense you complain about when Oscar season rolls around.
Right.
Like, you have to vote with your dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, the story of a lot of things.
Right. Right. Well, you know, I wasn't a fan of Grand Budapest Hotel, but I understand that's a lot of people's favorite Wes Anderson film in quite a while.
Yeah, but so he's been doing lots of films, and I don't think it has to be in the Best Picture.
Right.
And I liked it. It was in my top 10.
Mm.
So we'll have to look and see what unfolds as the Oscar season spins around. We'll definitely be covering it. I have a couple more that I need to see, like Whiplash. So
right, and that's coming out in like a month too. So it'll probably be out the same week actually as the Oscars. So
all right, well let's get to it. Oscars, let's make it happen. Thank you so much for listening to Real Talk. If you want to get in touch with Mark and I, you can email us at realtalk@ashvillefm.org. You can also follow us on Facebook. Real Talk is brought to you by the Fine Arts Theater, located at 36 Biltmore Avenue in Asheville. The Fine Arts Theater specializes in art and independent films, as well as special events. You can call their movie line for the schedule at 828-232-1536 or visit their website at www.fineartstheater.com. We encourage you to click the donate button while you're there on the Asheville FM homepage. And also, you might want to check out Stank Free Radio if you're looking for some groovy tunes on a Saturday night. Cousin TL is your host, and it gets really funky. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next Tuesday.